Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At the 7, Iamaleava scans the field. Nico's going to take off. Nico to the end zone. Touchdown.
Fan weather. That is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny skies today. And a high of 77. Donnie football in for the guys. Andrew and Chris taking the Monday off after the bye week. They will get back at it tomorrow, all three of us, for a Tomlin Tuesday as the Steelers go into week 6 of the NFL season with a 3-1 record and a lead in the AFC North. That call was from a game on Saturday. The biggest upset in college football. One of the biggest upsets in college football in several decades, and it involved the Penn State Nittany Lions. UCLA 42, Penn State 37, and James Franklin proved all of us wrong. I saw a tweet after that game, and I thought it was pretty clever. James Franklin, he heard all of us talking about how he only loses to the big dogs. He decided to lose to one of the worst teams in Power 4 college football. UCLA is horrible. Horrible. I know they made some changes, and that seemed to pay big dividends for them, clearly. This is a team that lost 43-10 to Utah, 30-23 against UNLV, 35-10 against New Mexico, and just lost to Northwestern 17-14 last weekend. A team that lost to New Mexico by 25 points. They fired everybody. They had guys coaching their first game. Tim Skipper is now as accomplished against a top 10 team as James Franklin is in his career. Jerry Neuheisel looks like he's 15 years old. And his offense just bullied the big, bad Nittany Lions all day. Nico Iamaleava was the butt of a lot of jokes after leaving Tennessee the way that he did and for how he started the season. But if you woke somebody up from a coma on Saturday and they watched that game, they would think that he was the Heisman frontrunner and the eventual first-round pick, not the guy that plays at Penn State. 5 total touchdowns, nearly 300 total yards. They couldn't stop him, especially when they needed to most. The draft stock will continue to plummet for Drew Aller. And for Aller, the former first overall pick hopeful, he was bad in the first half. He got a little bit better in the second half, but this will be another knock on him. Drew Aller is working his way out of the first round faster than Penn State has worked its way out of the top 25. It's a worse loss on James Franklin. Let's be clear about that. By far, it is one of the worst losses in Penn State football history. The university has to find a way to buy this guy out because they will never get over the top with him. He's a good recruiter. I think locally he is a great recruiter. There are a lot of teams from schools around the, or a lot of players from schools around this area. And if they are the top players in the WPIAL, they get the attraction of James Franklin. He gets in his helicopter. He touches it down by their field. He recruits his ass off, there's no doubt. Great recruiter, good recruiter, not a good football coach. I felt that way already. But he also did something on Saturday that he never does. To his credit, he was remarkably good in games where his Lions are favored heavily. Drew Aller the same way. He tends to play well against the weak opponents. He plays poorly against anybody good. And for Franklin, his team, they never stub their toe in games like this. Not only did they stub their toe, they broke their whole foot. We heard that this was the year of Penn State football. And I fell for it too. A longtime hater of that football program. I put money on them to win a national title. I thought, hey, everybody coming back, the quarterback, the running backs, new wide receivers. They bring in the defensive coordinator from Ohio State who won a national championship last year. Strong defense, getting better coaching, a good offensive line. You think that they have a wise guy offensive coordinator and Andy Kotelnicki's group, when the game mattered the most, the brain trust there, they called a read option for Drew Aller. When the game was on the line, that was their play. We heard this was the year. And I thought it made a lot of sense. Penn State had a great opportunity to get back to where they just were, the national semifinal in the college football playoff. They were a bad Drew Aller INT away from a possible national championship game appearance. Yeah, they lost Abdul Carter. They lost Tyler Warren. I know that those are massive losses. Warren is already one of the best tight ends in the NFL. Abdul Carter fitting in so far with the Giants. But I thought they could overcome that. They could get back to where they were. And maybe even get over the top. I thought they could afford a loss to either Oregon or Ohio State and still get a bye in the playoff. And even if they lost both Oregon and Ohio State, they could probably still get an at-large bid because those are two very strong losses. But their season is over because they ain't going to Columbus and winning that game. I'm not even sure if they can beat Indiana. And after this past Saturday, we can't be sure that any game is a victory for them. They have a better chance of playing in the Pop-Tart Bowl than the college football playoff. On Saturday, they became the first top 10 team to lose to an 0-4 or worse opponent in 40 years. 40 years! They were the second best team in the country 2 weeks ago, getting set for a showdown against Oregon. And in the span of 2 weeks, they are out of the top 25. The year of Penn State football. From unrivaled to unranked, the 2025 Penn State Nittany Lions. 412-928-9370. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can hit us at that same number on the fan text line. That is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, we will talk to somebody that is an expert on Penn State football, Joe Smeltzer. He covers Penn State for Nittany Sports Now. I know he didn't go out to L.A. to watch that debacle. Good for him. I'm glad he saved the travel and the money, because what a disaster. How does Penn State respond to this? How does Penn State rebound from this? We will get into that with Joe coming up next, 412-928-9370, to get involved. Right now, it is an intern Jack fan headline. You can't count on much, but
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with a juicy Week 6 matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Donnie Football in for the guys on this Monday post bye week. The Steelers are 3-1, but we are talking college football. Right now, a massive upset loss for Penn State over the weekend against UCLA. Pitt winning big against Boston College. We will get to that next hour. Intern Jack is here. He's behind the glass. He has no classes on Mondays. Gorgeous Charlie Borges back there as well. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. For over 50 years, we go back out to that fan hotline, and that is where we find Joe Smeltzer, who covers Penn State for Nittany Sports Now. Joe, is this, without question, the worst loss of the James Franklin era?
Yes, it is, Donnie, and thank you for having me on. There was competition for this dubious title, right? Before Saturday, most people probably would have said the 9 overtime loss to Illinois for the sure embarrassment of that fiasco a few years ago, maybe the Ohio State games in 2017 and 2018 because of what winning those games would have meant for that program, and Penn State choked both away. But it's hard to get much worse than a team that went into this season as a national championship favorite, brought just about everybody that could bring back, brought them back, paid a lot to bring him back, added to the coaching staff with a big fish in Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator. For that team to lose to an 0-4 operation that was so – I said it to Jason Mackey on the fan the night before the game. I said UCLA was worse than their 0-4 record showed, and I stand by that statement because look at the first four games. But somehow a team with no head coach, no real coordinators, outclassed James Franklin, Jim Knowles, and Andy Kotelnicki, and yeah, this is rock bottom. It might sound spoiled to say that, right, because there's a lot of programs that are generally worse off than Penn State, and Penn State still is ranked in one of the polls, 22nd, I think, in the coaches' poll. But as far as where the expectations were at the beginning of this season, and even by comparison, the feeling after the Oregon game, this is you have to say this is rock bottom for Penn State, because you just don't go into a season with this level and expectations and lose a game like that.
Who deserves the most blame, and how is the blame being divvied up 2 days after the game?
Yeah, the most blame is obviously James Franklin for reasons I'm not going to get into because everybody knows him, right? He's the head coach, and as Franklin would be the first to admit, he's responsible for everything. But I would like to talk about talking specifically about Saturday's game. I wrote a column that ran this morning for Indy Sports Now, bashing Jim Knowles. My title of the column was "Maybe You Do Mess Around with Jim" as a play on the classic Jim Croce song, but yeah, I think aside from Franklin, Jim Knowles is the biggest goat from Saturday's game. You play, you have a defense that had been playing very well up to this point, even played very well against Oregon, just ran out of gas at the end, and you're going against, as I mentioned earlier, a guy who had never called plays in his life at the college football level. He's going up against Knowles, who is the highest paid assistant in the history of college football. And somehow UCLA scores 42 points. Somehow Penn State doesn't think to put a spy on Nico Iamaleava until the fourth quarter. And, yeah, I think that's where the most blame, aside from the very top, should be directed to. As far as how the blame is divvied up, it seems still that people are focused more on Andy Kotelnicki than Jim Knowles. I think that was evident in Franklin's press conference today when somebody asked Franklin to evaluate Andy Kotelnicki pretty early in the press conference, and nobody asked about the defense until later on. And even then, that question about the defense wasn't directly asking Franklin to evaluate the job Jim Knowles has done. But yeah, I think Knowles has nothing to prove as a defensive coordinator. He's won a national championship. He's done well at Duke, where it's hard to get players. He's done well in the Big 12, where it's hard to play defense. But for Saturday specifically, yeah, Jim Knowles blew it big time. And you scored 37 points against UCLA. You're supposed to win. And somehow they did that and then beat them.
What would it take for Penn State to part ways with James Franklin? I know the buyout is crazy, but yeah, there has to be something, some sort of bottom that it could hit here where people just say, you know what, we're going to find whatever money we can and get rid of him.
I don't think that's going to happen, Donnie. I think the most realistic scenario that would have James Franklin not running Penn State's football program in 2020 for Penn State to somehow convince James Franklin that it's in his best interest to move on, right? The reason why Penn State would fire him is obvious, is because this was what many saw as a natty or bust season, and so far it's been a big-time bust. But as you mentioned, the buyout would be the thing keeping that from happening. So I think what you're looking for here for realistic scenarios for James Franklin to go would be kind of a John Calipari situation at Kentucky, right? Calipari won a lot of Kentucky, won a championship at Kentucky. But at the end of the day, the time was right for both parties to move on, and that's what happened. Calipari got a big deal at Arkansas and did well there in his first year, and Kentucky got a pretty good coach in Mark Pope, and now it looks like they're going to be all right too. So, yeah, I don't see a scenario where James Franklin gets the axe. I think the two options are Franklin's back in 2026 or Franklin is coaching somewhere else under his own will to an extent. And if James Franklin were to leave Penn State, he would be the hottest free agent coach on the market. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, but as far as Penn State firing Franklin, I just don't see a way that happens because of what the buyout is. Jimbo Fisher has the highest buyout ever at Texas A&M, $75 million, I think it was. Next to that, Franklin's would be the highest ever by a good $35, $36 million. So, yeah, I think somehow if Penn State wants James Franklin to go, they got to tell him, like, hey, next year's team is probably going to be worse. We're losing a lot of talent. Things might be rough the next 2 years. Maybe it's best for you. Maybe it's best for us if we're going to move on because we think you've done about all you can do at Penn State.
Talking to Joe Smelter, he covers Penn State for Nittany Sports Now here on 93.7 The Fan. Joe, one of the only things plummeting about as fast as Penn State out of the top 25 is the Drew Aller draft stock. I know that he's not the guy that deserves the most blame for the game on Saturday, but
no,
it's pretty unfortunate for him. He's playing himself out of being a first-round pick very quickly.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd really go that far, to be honest, because what have the other class of 2026 quarterbacks done? Arch Manning hasn't delivered. Graham Nussemeyer hasn't delivered. Cade Klubnik hasn't. So I think I would still predict Drew Aller to be a first-round pick, A, because of the upside, B, because you almost got to do it by default, because who else has really done anything to jump Drew Aller on that draft board? But – Yeah, the criticisms with Drew Aller are fair, and they are obvious. He hasn't been at his best when the lights have shined the brightest. And his mentality, I think, has been an issue. I don't know if he has the right mentality to lead a team like Penn State to a national championship, and that's something that NFL teams are going to call into question. So as far as Saturday's games go, yeah, Drew Aller played very well. He wasn't awesome, but he was very solid, I would say. B-plus, maybe A-minus word, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Completed, I think, 19 and 26 and also got 76 yards rushing. But, yeah, nothing he could have done, even if Penn State had romped UCLA, would have silenced the doubts that people have about Drew Aller. And that's that, you know, he hasn't done well when Penn State's played in big games. But at this point, maybe one of the silver linings to losing to UCLA is that Penn State doesn't have the national championship pressure really anymore. And Drew Aller has been at its best when there's been less pressure. So maybe this allows him to play free and loose, and maybe good things will happen as a result. But yeah, the criticisms with Drew Aller are fair and they are obvious. And really, they've been persistent since 2023 when he became a first-year starter. And that shows that the growth that you need over 3 years just hasn't really been there with him.
Yeah, Joe, what percentage do you think they have of making the playoff? They have to win out after this loss at minimum. That includes a win in Columbus on November 1st, and they would have to also beat Indiana the very next week.
Zero. I don't see any way it happens, you know. And I'm not laughing off your question. It's a fair question. But I would have said this after the Oregon game, too. You know, how is there any belief that Penn State – can go into Columbus and beat Ohio State? You know, you've had great teams play Ohio State before, and for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to deliver. Now, 2 days after they lost to UCLA, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to beat Ohio State or even Indiana with how they've been looking. I will say this, though, is that, you know, talking about Ohio State games specifically, the two best showings they have had against Ohio State since I've been on the beat are 2021, when it was a team that went 7-6 and had just lost to Illinois in that 9 overtime game the week before. And then the next year, 2022, when they were steamrolled by Michigan, I think 2 weeks before that, and they came in as 3-touchdown underdogs in Happy Valley. So I do expect Penn State to be able to compete in that game. As I mentioned earlier, they're going to be playing more loose now, and maybe that'll open some possibilities. But yeah, I don't see any way Penn State wins out, especially with how good Ohio State has been defensively and even offensively, too, even though Emeka Egbigbu is no longer there. Jeremiah Smith is the best receiver in college football, and Penn State's going to have to find a way to answer for him. So, yeah, I'm going to be blunt and just say 0% because I'm not going to say that they're going to win a game in Columbus, and now we're at the point where that is absolutely necessary for them to make the college football playoff.
In case anybody missed that quick little reference there by Joe, that wasn't him purposefully mispronouncing Emeka Egbuka's name. That was how Rob Gronkowski said it yesterday on a Fox Sports postgame show. Joe, what was up with the final call? Andy Kotelnicki gets a lot of credit for his creativity to go with a read option there with Drew Aller. How did you feel about that being the play with the game on the line?
It was a bad idea. The bigger picture, Donnie, with that is that Catron Allen wasn't on the field. And this is something I talked about. I wrote about it on Indy Sports Now before the UCLA game. I talked about it with Jason Mackey Friday night before the game, is that Catron Allen has been not only Penn State's best running back, I think he's been Penn State's best offensive player by a wide margin, and for whatever reason, they're still treating him like the number two back or at best the 1B back to Nick Singleton. Singleton got 11 carries to Allen's 8 for Penn State, and that's really been a recurrent theme throughout the season, even though Catron Allen has put up not only better numbers, he's put up way better numbers than Nick Singleton has. So the fact that Allen wasn't on the field, that's a huge problem. The fact that they were calling a read option when, you know, a short yardage situation, you have a great running back, you have an offensive line that should be great but isn't playing like it right now. And to really illustrate how good Catron Allen has been and how poorly Penn State has used him, He has 9 fewer carries than Nicholas Singleton does this year and 138 more yards. He's averaging 7 yards per carry to Singleton's 3.8. He has more touchdowns than Singleton. Like, any conceivable way, he's been better. And Penn State just doesn't understand it yet. And when James Franklin was asked about Allen's usage, he said that before the UCLA game, they talked about getting him more involved. And it's like, it reminded me of like the Tim Robinson sketch, like the guy in the hot dog suit. Like, we're all looking for the guy that did this. Well, you're the head coach. Nothing is stopping you from getting this guy involved. And they're just finding a way to bungle absolute common sense. So, yeah, that's about the 4th-and-2 call, calling a read option in that situation. That's just being too cute and overthinking it, which has been an Achilles heel for Andy Kotelnicki. But the bigger picture there is that Penn State's best player was not on the field for the bigger play. For the biggest play of the game, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with him health-wise.
Joe, one more for you, and I'm asking you to dig deep a little bit here, but I know that you have an extensive sports mind. You can be a bit of a historian at times, and you have followed Penn State football and have been a fan of Penn State football for your entire life. All-time Penn State losses, where do you feel the UCLA one falls in?
Yeah, that's tough. I think for Franklin, it's number one, right? So you have to go back. The only one I can think of off the top of my head that would compare to it would have been a game that my parents were at in 1999 when they played a pretty mediocre Minnesota team. They were number 2 in the country and ended up losing on a walk-off field goal. And that sent Penn State spiraling. They lost to Tom Brady in Michigan the next week and then lost to Nick Saban coach Michigan State team then that season. So right now, Minnesota 99 is the only one that really compares, because that was a 1999 team that was a lot like this year's team as far as preseason goes. They had everybody coming back. They had LeVar Arrington, superstar, coming back at linebacker, and they had started the year 8-0, and then in that Minnesota game, for some reason, it just didn't work out, and that was a loss that long-term, and it's going to be hard to judge this UCLA loss before we see what Penn State football becomes over the next few years. But after that 99 season, Penn State had 4 losing seasons in 5 years, which had never had. I think that's an unprecedented feat in Happy Valley. That had never happened before. Certainly hadn't happened under Joe Paterno. But, yeah, that's the one that compares. But you got to think that at best, UCLA right now is in the top 5 for worst losses in Penn State history, because that is just an absolute pitiful operation they went against. And I guess the best way to sum it up was that UCLA had not led for a second in the first 4 games, yep. And they led the entire 60 minutes against Penn State. So,
Joe Smeltzer, if you're a Penn State fan, check out his stuff. He covers the Nittany Lions for Nittany Sports Now. Joe, thanks for hopping on, buddy.
Yep, thanks for having me.
There we go. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now breaking down a monumental and embarrassing and perhaps an all-time Penn State loss on Saturday against UCLA. We're going to dive into some hockey coming up next. Charlie Borges is back there. I know he's pumped for this. Every time we work together, I like to let Charlie get going about the National Hockey League or anything else going on in the hockey world. So the season begins tomorrow. The Penguins open up against the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden at 8 p.m. against their former head coach, Mike Sullivan. So a lot of storylines going into that one. What will the Penguins look like in the 25-26 season? We'll get into some of those predictions and NHL predictions on top of that. Rickard Rakell, Penguins winger, he joins the show in about 45 minutes. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Right now it's time for an Intern Jack fan headline. You will hear that music in just over 24 hours as the Pittsburgh Penguins are getting set to open their 25-26 season. They will be in New York, Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, and they will be facing their former head coach to begin this next season. Dan Muse, the first-year man on the bench for the Penguins, Mike Sullivan and his Rangers await them tomorrow night, 8 p.m. puck drop in the Big Apple. Charlie Borges is here with me today. Intern Jack is here as well. But since we are on the eve of hockey season, some big hockey news earlier today regarding the game's best player, and we have a Penguin joining us in less than 45 minutes on the show, I thought there's no better time to give my guy Charlie some shine, a Borges hockey roundup. Charles?
Hello.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There we go.
Good job, Jack.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. Donnie, once again, always a pleasure. Thank you for letting me do this. You don't have to, but I appreciate it. Obviously, the season begins tomorrow night. ESPN, real quick, had a little season preview and power rankings. The Penguins ranked 30th. And their bold prediction for the year, and I can't believe we still have to do this, was that Sidney Crosby will play in the 2026 Stanley Cup playoffs, .. somewhere. He's not going anywhere. He's not. Period, end of story. Maybe next year when he has an expiring contract, but he's not going anywhere. And Connor McDavid did sign a two-year extension. So short term, and the salary cap's going to go up, so his next deal in 3 years is going to be the biggest deal in NHL history. It will beat Kirill Kaprizov, and I can't believe I have to say Kirill Kaprizov has the most expensive contract in the National Hockey League at $17 a year. But he took that right out of Sidney Crosby's book of taking less to stay and try to win.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is on the doorstep every single year, and really to no fault of his own, his team can't get it done. He won the Conn Smythe a couple of years ago in a losing effort.
First person to do that since when?
Oh, I'm not going to be able to get this.
J.S. Chiguer with the Anaheim Ducks.
Okay, early 2000s.
2003. Okay.
I thought it would have been back further than that. Ryan Dixon from Sportsnet, he put out predictions today, Charlie, ahead of the new hockey season. He does have a Penguins legend getting traded at the deadline.
Malkin.
He says Evgeny Malkin will be traded to the Los Angeles Kings.
Ooh.
He will waive his no-movement clause and join the Kings as a top-six winger for the stretch run, and then for one more season after this when he's 40. Because he has now expressed that, maybe I do want to play one more year after this one, and I don't think the Penguins should sign off on that. My feeling on Gino, I have loved watching the guy play now for 20 years. He and Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang have been the key parts to three Stanley Cup trophies coming to this city. I'm not going to feel as if Malkin has hurt his legacy if he goes to play somewhere else.
No.
Maybe I'm alone in that feeling. His legacy will not be tarnished if he goes and plays for the LA Kings or if he goes to the KHL. If he doesn't finish his career as a Penguin, I'm not going to think any less of him. He's still on the Mount Rushmore for me.
Okay, let me propose this scenario because this is my tinfoil hat theory. What if he goes and tries to team up with Ovechkin in Washington, try to play together in the NHL before they both go over to the KHL? If him playing for the Capitals, would that kind of tarnish his legacy a little bit if he goes buddies up with Ovechkin?
For me, Surprisingly, no. For like the diehard Penguins fan, black and gold till I'm dead and cold. Yeah, I think that would hurt them. If Gino went to play for the Caps or if he went to the Flyers, I mean, not that the Flyers are any good, but you get my point. If he went to a place that is truly viewed as a big-time rival, I think people would be upset.
I would agree. But I do think he's gone. It just makes too much sense for him to be traded this year. I don't think the Penguins are going anywhere. In fact, I have them dead last in my predictions.
How many points? Dead last in the whole league?
No, not dead last in the whole league. Definitely in the division. I think San Jose and Chicago, they're gonna duke it out for the Gavin McKenna.
Man, Chicago's still gonna be that bad?
They just don't know what they're doing. They're one of those teams that let's sign veterans to overpriced contracts and try to insulate the young guys. It just hasn't worked out. I mean, they have Spencer Knight as their new goalie. Congrats. That's still not doing it for me. And Connor Bedard, who was this generational talent that we thought was going to be this massive star, even though he's going to be a big star, he just hasn't shown that yet, that where he can take a game over like Sidney Crosby did when he was 18.
He's good. He's not great.
Correct. So I still think Chicago and San Jose are going to duke it out for the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes.
Over under 75 points for the Penguins.
Under.
Over under 70 points.
Oh, I think they get 71. So over.
How many teams in the East are worse? Nobody in the East last year finished below 76. The Bruins and the Flyers both had 76 points.
See, that's the good thing about the NHL. There's a lot of parity, but as of right now,
Man, the Sharks had 52 points. Good Lord.
Yeah, they're bad. Maybe Buffalo as a worse team than Pittsburgh.
Are they still going to be that bad? They're always bad.
They're Buffalo. They just can't get it together. I have no expectations for the Sabres. And maybe when they make the playoffs this year, or if they make the playoffs, this will be clipped as a ha, gotcha thing. But I still have no expectations for the Sabres. I think the Penguins will finish last in the Eastern Conference. That's where I have them right now. And it's sad as that is to say, but I don't trust their goaltending. I mean, you have more money in the minors than you do on your defensive core right now.
And is Sidney Crosby still great?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He'll get his, like...
Everybody else is just really bad.
His mid-90s to early 100-point mark, but... This is the last trip around the sun for the nostalgia tour.
They really have to lean on that this year. I mean, they did it with Fleury in the preseason game. They have to really lean on, hey, come see Evgeny Malkin for the final time. Come see the big three for the final time.
Because
they're going to have trouble getting people into that building.
I talked about this with the guys last week. The most expensive ticket this year at PPG Paints Arena is the Washington Capitals game, which I believe is the last home game for them in April. That's the most expensive ticket. And that's because a lot of people think that this could be the last time we see Crosby versus Ovechkin, because Ovechkin's contract is expiring at the end of this year.
Yep.
And that's like tickets are as low as 225 or something like that. So this is it. This is it for Alex Ovechkin as well. And we could be seeing the end of an era in the National Hockey League as Crosby and Ovechkin ride off into the sunset. Or not Crosby, Malkin riding off into the sunset with Ovechkin. So
I think Sid can play until his mid-40s if he wants to.
I think he has three more good years. He has one mediocre one, and then he calls it after that. I think
he doesn't want to be mediocre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He has that one year where he's like, I can't keep up anymore. And that's not going to happen for another 4 years. That fourth year. So, like, I can't do math off the top of my head. So, this year's 2025, 26. So, 29, 30, that's the year. That's going to be his last year.
He's kind of like the Shawn Michaels of the NHL. He had an injury right in his prime that took him out of what would be some legendary seasons. He comes back just as good, didn't miss a beat, wins two more Stanley Cups, and he doesn't want to be remembered as anything less than good. And he'll ride off there.
I'll say one thing. Sidney Crosby never lost a smile. That's a deep cut for all you wrestling folks.
What is your Stanley Cup final, Charlie?
My Stanley Cup final. I have the Vegas Golden Knights defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think with Alexander Barkov being out for most of the year, the Florida Panthers captain, and pretty much the heartbeat of the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion team being out for what should be the entire year with a ACL injury, that just kind of opens the door up. You've seen it time and time again when a team goes to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals. They've been to three Stanley Cup finals. They lost the first one to Vegas.
Yes.
That team is just so broken and battered, but they just know what to do when the time comes, so that's how they make it. With Barkov being out, I think that opens the door in that division for the Lightning to reclaim the Atlantic Division throne. I don't think the Leafs are going to do it. The Bruins, they're going to be not the Bruins. I mean,
yeah, the Bruins were awful last year.
Yeah, and they have David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy. That's pretty much it.
How about this one for you?
Oh, lay it on me.
I think Edmonton finally gets it done. That's going to basically turn into my Pirates will throw a no-hitter prediction. I'm just pick them every year. Because I do think McDavid is going to have one in him.
A reverse Florida Panthers.
Yes. They beat Mike Sullivan's New York Rangers in the Stanley Cup final, Charlie.
Ooh, I don't know about the Rangers going all the way to the final. I do have them making the playoffs as a wild card team, but not going all the way. I can't see it. I just can't. But it would be funny. I don't want to say funny. No, it would be funny as Penguins fans. The first year out of here immediately wins. I just don't see it. They don't have enough depth on the back end.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Thank you, Charlie. That was a fun little hockey roundup there. We do have more hockey later on in the show. Ricard Raquel, the Penguins winger, 35 goals last season. He joins the show in less than 30 minutes. But coming up, the other major college football team in the area. A big win on Saturday. And do they have something in what they discovered, the change that was made at quarterback? Is there something there for that team going forward? We get to that coming up next. Donnie Football in for the guys on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.